If you have an AM radio from the 1950s, you might notice two small triangles on the dial. These are civil defense symbols. They marked two frequencies, 640 and 1240. These, in the days of the Cold War, were the Conelrad frequencies.
640, 1240, Conelrad. 640, 1240, Conelrad.
The now totally outdated acronym Conelrad stood for Control of Electromagnetic Radiation. It was a radio alert system established by the Truman administration. A Conelrad alert was supposed to give people time to take shelter. Everyone was aware of the nuclear threat, Soviet bombers coming over the North Pole. Here is an imagining of that scenario, as produced by Armed Forces Radio.
This is Conelrad. Here is a special bulletin to all residents of this area. The sirens you hear are sounding the alert signal. Hostile aircraft has been sighted over the Arctic and is heading toward this country. Civil defense authorities may order evacuation of this area within the next few minutes. Stay tuned to this station. Do not panic. Do not use your telephone. Follow instructions laid out by your local officials. Keep listening to this station for information.
Well, Captain, the target, Chicago. We will rendezvous with other bombers over H317. Destination, the United States.
Don Parker is a retired radio station chief engineer. In the Conelrad days, he was working in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Where we were situated, we figured that the Russians, heading for Chicago, where the stockyards were and the railroad centers, they'd fly right over Green Bay. And if they couldn't get through to either Milwaukee or Chicago, they'd just drop them on us because we would be there.
The early Conelrad system was designed to warn the public and confuse the enemy bombers. Stations would only stay on for short periods, so the Soviet navigators couldn't home in on the signal. The alert procedure was tested every week, and part of that involved an off-air message relayed from one station to several others. Don Parker recalls a day when the wrong message was sent, and the U.S. Defense Command at NORAD had to be called to straighten it out.
Once a week, they would send a test. They would say, this is a test of the Conelrad system. So this sergeant was getting ready to go on his weekend, I guess, and happened to send the wrong message. And he actually switched us to Conelrad, you know, and off the air. I was, of course, concerned. My wife and kiddies were at home. We called him up, told her to get them in the basement and so on. And another man in town had contacts at NORAD, and he called him up to see what about the alert, and they said, there's no alert. This sergeant had read the wrong page in his book.
Conelrad was replaced by the emergency broadcast system in 1963 and then by the emergency alert system in 1994. We've been hearing the weekly test tones on our radios for decades now. There have been local warnings, mostly for weather, but there's never been an activation for a national threat. Richard Rudman is the chairman of the FCC's Advisory Committee on the Emergency System. We asked him about September 11th. Why there was no alert.
To do any good, a warning has to take people, start to take people from a fear of the unknown to literally a fear of the known.
Well, let's speculate here. You have two planes leaving Boston, and let's say you know right away they're hijacked and quite possibly up to no good and heading down the Hudson River to New York City. Wouldn't a warning to the general population have had some beneficial effect in that situation?
I would hope that we could find a way to get an effective warning. I think that based on events of September 11th, the nature of the warning would be evacuate all high-rise structures. But again, not knowing what's on the minds of people in those planes, it's hard to know what the reaction is. For instance, let's say that their real target happens to be bridges, and you start a general evacuation of Manhattan, And the real target is to get a lot of people and hurt them while they're on the bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have enough information, there's always the chance that things could be made worse. There wasn't enough credible information at the time that everything happened on September 11th to actually provide a credible warning. If you think of a warning as a command like head for the hills, but you also have to tell them which hills to head for and what to do when they get there.
Richard Rudman of KFWB Radio in Los Angeles. It is argued these days that radio and television stations have taken the place of any official warning system, that a president could be on the air instantly everywhere in case of trouble. It's also thought that the alert system could become far more sophisticated. Peter Ward is one of the founders of a private nonprofit group, Partnership for Public Warning. He says, why not use cell phones?
If you can broadcast within a cell is only a few miles in diameter. If it's a digital cell, it may be 10 or 12 miles in diameter if it's an analog cell phone, so that you could, in fact, target that population in that small area by broadcasting a warning to them. And it might show up as a beep on the phone and then a message on the screen or whatever.
It would wake up your cell phone?
It could wake up your cell phone. I mean, talking future. If your cell phone is turned on, it could ring your cell phone. If your cell phone is turned off in the future, we would imagine it would turn it on and allow you to get that. You think of the tornado country and a tornado winding its way through the different counties. If you could track that tornado and light up the cells in front of it, anybody in those cells, you don't even have to know who's there. Anybody that's got a cell phone would receive that broadcast.
If you had some idea of where the tornado was going.
If we know where the tornado's going. But we're getting to those levels. I mean, the scientists in the weather area and earthquakes and volcanoes are getting much, much better at providing warnings.
What else in terms of consumer?
Computers. Internet's becoming absolutely central to what we're doing. And we do a lot of, at the moment, pull on internet. We go to a website and get the information back. But push on internet where you send out the message and it rings the computer.
So you're talking about a tornado alert or let's say a highway where there's a chemical spill up ahead. You'd like to have those car radios turned on and alert the people.
Or a terrorism event. It ought to be up to the owner of the equipment to decide what's appropriate for them. And that way, Big Brother doesn't have to know anything about it.
Well, give me an example of that.
Well, for example, you may only be interested in life-threatening situations, or you might only be interested in earthquakes and floods. Another aspect that could work in here in the long term is, say, your mother lives in California and you live in Washington, D.C. Well, you might get warnings, if you wanted to, that apply to her. The possibilities are endless once you have the basic system.
Peter Ward of the group Partnership for Public Warning. There's already talk of a possible updating or replacement of the existing emergency broadcast apparatus. Today, a spokesperson for the Federal Office of Homeland Security said they're talking with federal agencies, state and local governments, and some private companies to create a new way to warn people. She called it the National Threat Advisory System. An official announcement, she said, is coming soon.